This year, we are on a journey of wholeness, where we are exploring how we are called to live lives of abundance and well-being and as whole people. Last week, Pastor Susan lifted up three of the commandments that Jesus gave to us about what we are supposed to be doing in this world. Our main focus scripture, as you all may know and remember, is the scripture from Mark, where we are called to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. We also talked about and are exploring this year how we're called to love your neighbor as yourself. And last week, Pastor Susan lifted up a verse that's again repeated in today's scripture, which is, love each other. Just as I have loved you, so you also must love each other. And today, as we are wrapping up how we are called to love God with our whole hearts, we are considering how we are to love God with our relationships. So as we start on our journey, will you join me in prayer? God of creation and connections, bind us together during the sacred time as we meditate upon your word for us today. Open our hearts, fill them with your spirit, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. In his work, Devotions Upon Emergent Occasions, the English poet and cleric John Donne wrote this famous statement: no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. This oft-quoted sentence reminds us that at the core of our humanity is relationship. And yet we know that relationships are not easy, whether they are our closest intimate ones or whether they are casual friends who we see at work or even relationships with strangers, they can be messy. So as we are called to love God with our whole selves and live abundant lives, we have to think about how loving God with our relationships is key and plays a part. Scott Stoner says, there are few things more precious in life than the loving relationship we have with others. Few things affect the quality of our life more than the quality of our relationships. There is a powerful connection between our personal wellness and the health of our relationships. And we all know this. We experience this. When we feel isolated from others, when we are angry with others, when we have broken relationships or are hurt by others' actions or are grieving losses, we know that the rest of our lives are deeply impacted by these relationships which aren't where we want them to be. However, many times we don't know what we need to do to improve the relationships or how to do it. But knowing that we are created in relationships, how do we love God with this part of our humanity? Fortunately, our scripture lesson today, which is often called the vine and the branches, helps us explore some keys to building relationships that are grounded, that are rooted in God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know anything about grape growing. Does anybody know anything about grape growing? Got a little bit over here. In fact, I'll tell you, it wasn't until a few years ago that I actually saw a grapevine in person. And I remember it clearly. John and I had moved to Pennsylvania, and while we were there, one of the things that we were doing was getting to know our area, and so we would visit some local wineries. And so on an overnight trip, we went to a winery outside of Baltimore, Maryland. And now most of the time when we'd gone to wineries, Ye would kind of take us on a tour of all their fancy equipment, and then they'd go to the tasting room, because after all, that's why you go to wineries, to taste wine, right? But this tour was interesting. It started in the vineyards. So we walked through this, and they let us touch the leaves, and they talked about all of the how they grew the leaves and how they tended them and where they cut. And we got to taste grapes right off it, and we saw the vineyards that stretched for miles. And it started there. And when I think back on that experience, it begins to give me a different appreciation for what Jesus might be trying to say when he is talking to his disciples. Jesus is speaking on the night before his death. He is trying to prepare his disciples for his death on the cross and this separation and this change in their relationship. And so these words that we heard read today are some of his last words for his friends, and he is trying to reassure them and remind them about his love for them. So Jesus uses a very familiar image to his disciples, the grapevine. Now, to Jesus and his followers, unlike me and most of you, the grapevine was an important everyday part of the economic and communal lives that they lived with. In ancient Near East cultures like Judea, the grape was an important agricultural product. It was second only to the olive in its importance at that time. Vineyards could be found growing in many communities on the towns in the hill country of Galilee, which is where Jesus and his followers were from. And so while the scriptures tell us that many of the disciples were fishermen, it's probable that other of his disciples were involved in many of the jobs that were involved in the production of grapes, from harvesting to winemaking to protecting the vineyards or constructing the terraces on the mountainside on which the vineyards were placed. And so like these other agricultural metaphors that found in scripture, grapevines would have been very familiar and they would have known what he was talking about. And so he chose that to share these deep truths about relationships with others, with God, and with themselves. So what exactly was Jesus trying to communicate to his followers about relationship? Now, there's a lot to unpack in these things, but I want to lift up three key points about relationships. And as we learn a little bit about grapevines today, we can learn a little bit more about how we tend our relationships in life. The three concepts I want to lift up are that relationships require commitment, relationships require choices, and relationships require a connection to God. So I invite you to explore with me these insights and how our scripture lesson relates to these. Now, first, something we probably all are familiar with is that relationships require commitment. Yesterday, we had a wedding here at the church for a young man who grew up, and whether I'm an officiant or a guest or simply watching a wedding on TV, my heart always catches a little bit when I hear the vows that the two people are making to each other, because they are making a commitment to be in relationship with each other. The same is true of God. Our God has made a commitment to us. In our scripture lesson today, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower." From the start, by referring to God as the vine grower, Jesus is pointing out that commitment is core in relationships. Because actually, one of the most important things to know about vines and virtues in growing grapes is patience. In fact, patience was so important in growing grapes, that Jewish law, according to the book of Leviticus, prohibited harvesting grapes until after the fifth year. You had to grow for 5 years before you could enjoy the harvest. And a grape grower has described this commitment, this important commitment required to grow grapes. The economics of viticulture necessitate a long-term investment in labor and capital outlay. Not only must the farmer wait 6 years before harvesting a crop and contend with the continual problems of weather and pests and greedy tax collectors, it's simply the reality of that farmer's life that throughout their existence, the vines must be carefully tended and pruned and protected. Still, it can be said that the resulting fruit, with its byproducts of raisins and wine, amply repay all of this effort. Relationships require the same type of commitment to grow grapes as it does to build relationships. And this is a commitment that God shows to us. Both grape growing and relationships take major times of effort and investment. Sometimes it's making a formal commitment to each other through a decision to get married. Sometimes it's dedicating a child. Sometimes it's saying, "I want to share this important experience with you." But grapevines and relationships also need constant care. Like most relationships, they are built moment by moment when we take time to invest in them. I recently saw a commercial, Folgers, which of course is trying to sell us coffee, but it's also a sweet reminder about how we all have choices about how we spend our time.
I need time, just to keep you on my mind. Yeah, I need time, and I need love. Yeah, I need love, just to live.
The moments that connect us don't happen overnight. They happen one morning at a time, and one cup at a time. Folgers, the best part of waking up.
While it's true that we only have 24 hours every day, we each have to choose how we use that time and how we think about how we are living out our commitments to the relationships in our lives. God has made the long-term commitment to be in a relationship with us. So what in turn is our commitment to all our relationships, whether with God or with others? So once we have made the choice to committed to a relationship, we also know that relationships require choices every day. Because we all can't give the same type of commitment to every single relationship. We can't give the same commitment to our family as we do to our friends, as we do to that random store clerk who helps check us out at Kroger. We all have to make choices about and in our relationships. And after calling himself the vine, Jesus continues this metaphor to talk about an important aspect of vine growing, and in fact, relationships, which is pruning. The scripture today states that the branches that bear no fruit are taken away to be disposed. And as such, this passage usually is often interpreted to be a powerful judgment against those who do not abide in Jesus. However, when we take into account the practices of viticulture, we can gain insight on more than judgment. In fact, his concept of pruning points out the importance of making choices in our relationship. One viticulturist tells of the importance of pruning this way. He says, if the plant is allowed to have too many growing points, it grows too extensively and its energy is wasted on growth, and the large clusters do not produce large or juicy grapes. Basically, he's saying that if we allow too many things to go and without pruning, nothing really grows good fruit. And it's in growing grapes that two kinds of pruning are also done. First, in the fall after the harvest, the workers in the vineyard would remove excess material like leaves, like water sprouts, and overgrown branches. And in the spring, the pruning would be taking succulent sprigs from the fruiting branches and dead and diseased wood and taking off buds where they're not supposed to be. And all of these types of pruning and care of the grapevine remind us that the relationships we have require that we make choices about what grows out of them. Now, sometimes our relationships just need a little tender, loving care, a little water, and a little shaping. And we can do this by spending quality time together or having an in-person conversation rather than simply liking a comment on Facebook. Sometimes maybe it's by somebody who responds to gifts or to a kind note. And all of these little actions can help care and tend to our relationships. But then sometimes there are relationships that need to be pruned a little bit more and cut back. Sometimes we become too involved in one relationship and we begin to neglect others for too long. Or sometimes we become involved in so many relationships that we can't grow any one relationship. And sometimes we have to cut relationships entirely for a season because they become unhealthy, unsafe, or toxic for the individuals or for all involved. Relationships require commitment, but we have to make choices about how we are acting in those relationships and what kind of a relationship we are creating so that it can bear good fruit. And finally, all relationships require a connection to God. Jesus emphasizes this point to his disciples. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." Abide. I've shared this before, but the writer of the Gospel of John and the Big Lebowski both seem fascinated and comforted by this arcane word of abide. And it's an unusual word. We don't hear it outside of church. And 17 of the 18 times that the word abide occurs in the New Testament are from the Gospel or the Epistle of John. It's a unique word. Now, in Greek, the word meno means to remain, to stay, to live, to dwell, to last, to endure, to continue. Christ reminds us that relationships are rooted in that connection to God's love. And he calls us to remember that it is the God of the vineyard who sustains us through all the seasons of life and all the stages of all our relationships. And it's important to remember that there are vineyards in the Holy Land that still exist today, and that they have survived and thrived through hundreds of seasons. They've survived harsh, dry seasons with scorching hot days and cold nights. They've survived the torrential downpours of the rainy seasons. And they survived because that vine was present, rooting them. And likewise, when life washes over us, when we, as the branches, need to abide in the vine of Jesus, we need to make sure that we have roots down that are able to help us weather the storm. And even when all of our hard work and our best efforts are not enough, because sometimes they aren't, in our relationships or in our lives, or when tragedies strike and the flood waters rise, when things look bleakest, God's love remains and we are called to abide, to rest, to live in that love. And it's even in the face of his own hardship on the cross, as well as our own hardship, Jesus promises to abide in us and calls us to do the same. When we abide in God's love, we remain connected, and by extension, our relationships are connected to God as well. As I close, I would like to invite each of you to think about a relationship in your life that's taught you about what relationships are. And as I consider our scripture lesson today, I want to share the story of the one that came to mind. And there's one relationship in my life that has required all three aspects of the things that Jesus has shared. It's required commitment and choices and a connection to God. And I'll tell you, it's not my relationship to my husband, although that one's very important. It's actually one of my relationships with my best friend, Karen. Now, Karen and I don't remember meeting. In fact, it's actually probable that we met at some point in the womb. But I do know that we were both about 3 or 4 when we started being friends together in the church nursery. And so we grew up in the same congregation and through the church. And I remember we had regular play dates. I remember playing Barbies together. We got into all sorts of adventures that little girls do. We talked and we giggled constantly. We bought BFF necklaces and made a commitment to tell each other everything. And we were best friends going through life together. And then, when we were about 12 years old, our relationship began to break down. And we started getting on each other's nerves. And we started sniping at each other whenever we were together. And we began not wanting to hang out with each other. And we weren't having much fun together anymore. And it seemed as if we didn't have much in common. She liked grunge music. I didn't. So we made a choice. We chose to take a break from each other to explore our own interests. We weren't mean. We still saw each other at church. We just needed time apart. And then a few years later, when we were in high school, we actually went to the same high school, and we began to get reacquainted with each other and spend time together. And we discovered that we were still connected. We began to talk to each other and listen to what the other was saying without judgment. And we discovered we still liked each other. And then once again, we chose to commit to that relationship. We chose to be friends, and then close friends, and then best friends. And now since that time, we've gone through all the ups and downs in life, sharing the challenges of being young professional women and making education and career choices. We've gone through the joys and heartbreaks of relationships. We've journeyed together through the valley of the shadow of death with the death of loved ones. And all of these moments, big and small, have made up this lifelong relationship that has taught me about what it is to abide. And through all of this, we have continued to abide in God's love. And I know that it is because of that connection that we each have to God that we are able to deeply be connected to each other. And so we can love one another and we abide in that love. Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." And my hope is that a love will abide in your relationships and that all of them may continue to grow and to bear good fruit and that you hug someone you love today. Amen. Amen.